This is pretty brilliant.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, I'm really happy that we're recording this podcast today.
That's great to hear, Patrick. But what specifically makes you happy about it?
I don't know, man. I'm just happy, okay? Get off my back!
I guess by now I should be aware of your ever-changing moods. Wednesday, we're midway through.
Yeah.
Perfect pop week.
Yeah, we're right in the middle. It goes by so fast this week. You know, it's just like it flies by because it's so much fun.
You know, every year, Perfect Pop Week is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
And it always goes faster than we want it to. And then we have to wait till next year. And,
sad at the end of it. Nah, we can do it whenever we want.
Actually, we can. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. We're out on the back deck. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
The sun is bright and the umbrella is no longer shading me. It's at that angle where it's coming in underneath, but that's okay.
It's lovely. It's not hot today. It's just gorgeous.
That's the good thing. And I do this for the listeners. So
that's right. We do it for you.
I'll be all right.
Dear listener.
From time to time, we talk about songs that people think are perfect pop songs and we take suggestions from listeners.
Yeah.
And this week, we're showcasing just those picks. Let's start off with a pick here from Jim Dimitri.
Okay.
He's contributed to us before, right?
Good man.
Hey, Suburban Party Line. Hey, Patrick. Hey, Jim. It's Jim Dimitri from Indianapolis. For Perfect Pop, I have always loved A Town Called Malice by The Jam. The lyrics are really kind of bleak, but there's a little ray of sunshine in them. But it's just the melody of that song just gets stuck in your head, and I can never get it out, and I never get tired of listening to that song. Every time it comes on, I have to stop and listen to the thing all the way through. Have a good day, guys, and thanks for keeping up the show. Really enjoy listening to the episodes. Take care.
Earlier in the week, I said it doesn't get much better than Ain't No Mountain High Enough, but man, it doesn't get much better than Town Called Malice.
Jim, this one gives me all the feels, as the kids say. I got so much on this song. From the very beginning, when there's the snap, you know, the finger snaps, and then the snare drum comes in right on top of that, right on the beat in the second part. So incredibly great.
Speaking of snare drum, I love the way that even the fills are just all snare drum. Like, he doesn't really play much of the kit, but it's so effective, right?
It really is. And what can you say about Bruce Foxton's bass lines on this song? I mean, they're just unbelievable. He's like Coltrane on the bass on this song, just accenting each little line.
But it's such a love letter to Motown, too, right?
It really is. That Oregon and just what a brilliant title, too. I mean, what a title for a song, A Town Called Malice. Just,
right.
It doesn't get any better. Now, I'll quickly tell you this story, and I'm going to invoke my good friend, the Bish, here.
The Bish.
The Bish. And I swear we'll get him on the show again one of these days if we can ever pin him down. But, you know how you go to concerts a lot with somebody, comes your, you know, one of your good friends. You've been to tons of shows, you know. And you know how at many concerts you've been to, people would scream out, you know, as a joke, Freebird, right?
When
the band was quieter between songs.
Our song to do that was Town Called Malice. So every show we went to where we couldn't think of anything or some dead air was there, we would shout out, Town Called Malice! And it never worked. But we did it once at a Paul Weller concert, and eventually it worked. But
yeah.
Yeah, we actually saw him play that finally when he was doing a solo show on Together the Bish and I witnessed him do it. So
when you look at sort of like the criteria for perfect pop, is it your feeling that every band should know how to play A Town Called Malice?
Absolutely. This would be one of the songs in your foundation. Yeah. Yes. Got to know how to play it at any time, at least a little bit of it, to satisfy the hecklers.
I think that's good. I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
That's where bands should start.
Much credit to the Bish on that
one. If you can master this song, then you've got a career ahead of you, right?
The Bish is a huge fan of the Jam and educated me in the ways of the band. In all the details. So,
and this is where Paul Weller was really going, like full on, like R&B. You know,
absolutely
moving away from just kind of the straighter stuff into something with a little bit more kind of soul to it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. What an achievement! The Gift.
And foreshadowing, we're gonna hear a little bit more of that in the second half of the show after this break.
Foreshadowing.
Patrick, what other podcast would do this for its listeners? Go out to a live setting in the real world.
The real world.
And record a podcast in front of actual people with a performing artist. What other podcast would do that?
I can't think of that many.
Does Marin do that for anyone?
No, I haven't heard of him doing that.
No,
absolutely not.
No.
No, he doesn't do it.
But we're going to do that.
Yeah, we are going to do that.
We're going to do that. As you like to say, Rocktober 21st.
Yes, coming up.
It's a Saturday.
Getting excited.
So you can get some early drinking in because we're going from noon on at Black Walnut Brewery in Leesburg, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Leesburg has its own little airport for private planes. Many of our listeners are incredibly wealthy, so they can do that. They could just pop in for the weekend. Right?
Yeah, I think we'll expect to see some folks flying in from all over the country, maybe even Hong Kong.
Wow. That would really be something.
George is going to have to time it up right, but I think he can get it done.
That's right. So anyway, October 21st, Black Walnut Brewery, Leesburg, Virginia, starting at noon. We're going to record some podcast episodes there. We're going to talk about music, you know, among ourselves with the people there in attendance and with Lisa Saeed. And she's also going to play some songs for us.
It's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully the weather will be just like today. And I'm sure we may stick around afterwards and talk to folks and might even sample the wares there at Black Walnut.
Until Black Walnut kicks us out.
That's right. As usual.
So, Patrick, I mentioned the foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be to the next pick here for Perfect Pop. We have the pick here from Joe Stadler, and it came to us on Twitter. So it's very short, but that's okay. He says, it's a damn shame to not have the Style Council's My Ever-Changing Moods on there. Tisk, tisk, he says, meaning, I guess, our Perfect Pop playlist. Yeah. So you be the judge.
Take you back in time, Jim, to 1984 when this album Cafe Blue came out, and I'll put you in my shoes. Unfortunately, hang in there, folks. But I was just, so I was working at the record stores in high school. I was following the guidance of these older record clerks. Including,
plane going overhead, by the way.
Yeah. Is there an airport around here?
I think somebody's flying in for our show.
Yeah, they might be coming a little early.
Right.
Yeah,
they might have a wrong.
Super excited. They just
that time you
this.
Went to the REM show a month early.
It's June.
Yeah.
Anyway, so 1983, I was 84. I was working at the record store. I was under the influence of these older record clerks, Jeff Burnett and Todd Lanier, and they were way into the jam, and they had gotten me into the jam. And I remember when the Style Council album came out, I was mad. Because I thought, why couldn't he have just done this with the jam?
Right.
It's not that far off from the jam, right? Now, hearing it today, it just sounds incredibly great and fresh and lively. And I can, you know, understanding history, I can understand why people don't want to work with others. And, you know, and that was a sour relationship, I think, with Bruce Foxton and Rick Buckler. But, wow, what a sparkling song. But I just remember I have this lingering anger at Paul Weller for like, why couldn't you have just done this with the jam? It wasn't that far away from what you were doing. Like you said earlier, they were heading, you know, that way.
At least he was. I don't know about the other guys. That might have been the issue, right?
Right. They didn't want to play that style of music.
Now, I remember going back at this point thinking, at that time, and my age at that time, thinking like, this sounds kind of lame.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not it didn't have the power and the punch behind it that the jam had.
No.
And like, this doesn't really appeal to me at this stage of my life. Now, over time, I think this is fantastic.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Oh,
it's like, you know, you come to appreciate it more later on. And you know, it's a wonderfully written and composed song.
Really
There's also different versions of this song, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the single version, which is more highly orchestrated, but there's a more stripped-down version on the album, right?
That's right, yeah. And he did that a lot. He played with, if you think of a song like Long Hot Summer that the Style Council had, they kind of played around with textures and grooves and things. And yeah, part of that, I think, was, you know, even on the cover of the album, they were just sort of dressed in kind of, you know, very stylish clothes, and they were sipping cappuccinos at, like, a Paris sidewalk cafe. And it was you're right, it was hard to get into that, but man, listening to it now, it's very creative and vibrant music.
Yeah, as a young, you know, teenager in the Midwest who was listening to stuff like Van Halen, this was, you know, a little bit outside of my comfort zone at the time. But, you know, of course, thankfully, I've, you know, hopefully grown
as a
music fan. But, you know, the genre of this song, I've never heard this term before, listed on Wikipedia page for the song, is called sophistopop.
Really?
You ever heard of that as a genre?
I can't say that I have. No.
But it kind of works,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it totally works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sade would be in sophistopop as well. She'd be down there on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a very sophisticated lady.
Thank you very much again for the suggestions.
Yes.
These are great
really
suggestions.
Really appreciate it.
And so we put this one on the list, right?
It's on the list.
It's on the list. Okay.
It's there now.
All right.
Tisk, tisk. Take that away.
Okay, we have two more days of Perfect Pop Week, right?
Just flying by. It's like we've just been sitting here for an hour.
Two more days, two more beers.
That's it.
So we'll get right to that.
Yeah.
You should drink a beer and listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
Please do that. Doctor's orders. Also, give us your suggestions for Perfect Pop songs, or if you want to comment on any of these, we'll take that too.
That works as well.
You can call the Suburban Party Line, as you heard Jim Dimitri do on this episode. That number is 612-440-1984,
and he will be on the upcoming spinoff podcast, Too Many Jims. Is that right?
Too Many Jims. Is that what we call it?
I can't remember.
Kick out the gyms.
Kick out the gyms. That's it. Yeah, thank you.
The other way you can do is Twitter or other social media like Facebook, Instagram, at Suburbs Pod, as Joe did on this episode, or send us an email. That does still exist. It's not old-fashioned. We're old-fashioned. It is rock@suburbspod.com.
Do that.
We'd love to hear suggestions. We'll put them on future episodes. We want to hear reasons why you like the songs, why you think they're perfect, what makes them perfect in your eyes and ears.
Criteria.
Let's get out of here. We got more Perfect Pop to get to. We have more beer to get to. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Daylight turns to moonlight, and I'm at my best, praising the way it all works and gazing upon the rest. Yeah, the cool before the warm, the calm. for the war, the calm of the storm. I wish to stay forever. Let's end this villain. Oh, but I'm caught up in a whirlwind and my ever-changing moods, yeah.
I feel like you got a screenplay in you. It's coming out.
Sure.
Okay.